the Mary Lou Henner Show.
Okay, well, I've been doing this show for a while now, but I've got to say, I don't think I've ever been more excited than I am right now to meet our next guest. I've been a fan of yours for so long, and you're just such a genius and an icon and everything that I expected you to be, especially after reading your fabulous book, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, A Life in Music. And it's a memoir with a foreword by Mick Jagger, and I cannot wait to talk to you about it. So please give a warm Mary Lou Henner Show welcome to the incomparable Dave Stewart. Okay. All right, first of all, it's so cool that Mick Jagger wrote your foreword because you fall in love with you from the get-go, and you can't wait to meet you.
That's very sweet. Caused a lot of problems throughout my life. But Mick and I met in about 1983 and became best friends straight away. And, you know, became inseparable at some points and had mad adventures all over the place.
Yeah.
Wrote lots of songs. Some people have heard. We won a Golden Globe together. But we wrote so many songs that people have never heard because we do it for fun. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, artists don't just write like 10 songs for the album and then they don't write anything for 3 years.
You know,
it's a constant thing. You know, you're just inventing all the time. So, and we would be in the craziest places. Like, I remember us writing a song in the back of a yellow cab in New York in the rain. And I'm playing the guitar and Mick singing as if he's on a stage at Madison Square Garden. And the cab driver's trying to sort of concentrate and going, holy...
right.
It's Mick Jagger in the back of the car. Because his voice is so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And so distinct. And you talk about that in the book, how some people have very distinct voices. So as soon as you hear them, you
absolutely.
Know...
Absolutely. Well, Mick's voice has the sort of the power of a trumpet. If you're in a recording studio and you've got like... an orchestra or a band, you know, the trumpet player, you're always asking them to stand a bit further back, a bit further back, because it's so piercing.
Yeah, strong.
And Al Green, when I recorded him, the first time he went to the mic, he blew up one of the mics.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, that must be something wrong with the mic. Then we put the next mic up, and that went as well. And we were like, okay, so let's get the strongest mic in existence. And he's the same. I don't know if you've seen Al Green live, but he can walk backwards from the microphone with the band playing full volume, and he's still singing as loud, and the audience can hear every word. And it's a certain kind of timbre to the voice, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing. I love that you tell so many great stories in this book, and, you know, a lot of them involve drugs, and I kept thinking, wow.
I just worked out. I nearly choked on my coffee.
And I kept thinking, how did he do as many drugs as he talks about in the book and still remember these experiences with such detail? Because your memory is crazy great, and your way of describing things is so specific and so detailed.
Well, unlike you, who can, you know, remember every single thing every day, I did, you know, when I was broke in Germany and really down and out, I invented this character called Memory Man. And I persuaded this nightclub owner to let me do it before the strippers came on. And of course, but my show was that I just didn't remember anything, and it was part of the act. So in the end, I had a guy that would chat, you know, well, who won the World Cup in, like, 1964 or whatever? And I'd slowly have a nervous breakdown on stage. But all the Germans sort of attend, you know, the audience just wanted the striptease.
Right.
And I'd make it go on and on, you know, me thinking, like, oh, who won the Cup in 1964? And, like, they would go, get off, bring on. And then in the end, I would have a nervous breakdown and they'd carry me off.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't actually remember anything on my show.
But that's so Andy Kaufman-esque. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah, it is.
No, I mean...
I wrote it in that whole idea story and had it put out as a 6-episodic comic book graphic novel about this guy, we call him Ian Dormouse in the novel, who is working as a kind of memory man in a Russian nightclub. And they're all, like, you know, really annoyed at him. And then he starts to say things that are actually true with, like, some big hustling mafia-type guy. He remembers his nanny. He says his nanny's name and things like this. And it all gets more and more trippy, and in the end, I want to hear the rest of it.
No, we'll have to get it.
But, yeah, so I called it Walk-In, the graphic novel. And a walk-in is somebody who's had a near-death experience or they've flatlined in the operating theatre, mm-hmm. which I have.
Yeah.
And at that moment, a different spirit or soul can
step inside.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that happened to me because before that happened, I didn't bother writing many songs. And I just played the guitar and I got a bit stoned. And, you know, I didn't really think in this visionary way, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm going to change the world with music or anything like that. And then when I came out of the operation,
right.
I was completely different and I was kind of on fire, you know. So when Annie and I had broken up, I went back to the place where we used to live in a little bedroom with a little...
Mm-hmm. I love the way you described that little bedroom and the house and everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, well, I had a little electronic tape recorder called a Porter Studio that recorded on four tracks. And I bought my first little synthesizer because I didn't want to play the guitar because
mm-hmm.
I knew how to play the guitar. I wanted to do something that I didn't know how to do it. And that became Eurythmics and Sweet Dreams and all these...
It's amazing.
...songs. And I never stopped writing. The funny thing about Annie and I is, you know, we lived together for 5 years or something as a couple,
mm-hmm.
right? And we were like, you know, a couple who went out trying to buy second-hand furniture for our derelict squat we were living in and tried to get the cheapest vegetables. And, you know, we were really...
The salad days that yeah. like a young couple has.
Yeah, and sure. That was, you know, all we did. We didn't write one song
mm-hmm.
between us or together for 5 years. But then when we broke up, we decided to stay together as a duo. And I think we wrote 140 songs about breaking up. So
amazing. No, it's great. The story
so I'm just
you
advising
tell.
All the young songwriters. Out there. Like,
that,
you know, find a girl or a boy or mm-hmm. two boys, two girls, whatever you want. And live together in this really intense romantic relationship. Break up but vow to stay together as a writing couple.
But there was some...
It's torturous, but great.
and certainly inspirational.
Very inspirational, yeah.
But you were really kind of in the perfect storm of so many things, and that you... Not only did you have the people ahead of you, like Mick Jagger and the, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Bob Dylan, but then you were able to take that influence, the influence from your father playing Rodgers and Hammerstein and being this little six-year-old singing Nothing Like a Dame on your way to school. I love that story.
The worst thing as well, I used to sing I Enjoy Being a Girl. And I was from a very tough neighborhood, so I used to get a lot of, like, my kids.
What's going on? But it was also the idea that you guys used to film yourselves even before people were making videos.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a visionary, you know, whoever walked in was really
well,
smart.
Well, yeah, as soon as I woke up from this operation, I filmed everything going forward. So my archive of films is crazy, you know, and... Mm-hmm. And photographed everything and recorded everything. As Mick says in the forward, it said it's infuriating because just when you think, no, it should be like that, that's how we did it. And they go, no, this is how we did it.
Yeah.
And I played the tape.
See, so you were developing your memory a long time ago.
Yeah.
More with Dave Stewart. So many great stories. Your story about Aretha Franklin was wonderful. And Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Annie Lennox and all the wonderful things that you've done and your children. And your book is just chock full. This is a must read. Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. More with Dave Stewart coming up.
The savings are heating up at Lumber Liquidators Spring Flooring Kickoff Sale. Our stores are now packed with the latest trends from our new catalog, like the hot look of gray flooring. This week, get 20% off reclaimed gray wood look tile. And check out popular hand-scraped styles like High Sierra Pine. Or choose from other varieties of solid hardwood, all up to 20% off. Get great deals on over 35 styles of bamboo from $149 and more from just 49 cents. Plus, 18-month special financing. For the best deals on over 400 floors, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you today.
It's not a team without t-shirts.
Custom t-shirts from Custom Ink are the easy way to connect any group. Our online design lab makes it simple to create a shirt design that your group will love. Or you can easily upload your own logo. Whether you need one shirt or thousands, Custom Ink can print any size order. And we know you can't wait for your new t-shirts. That's why we offer free shipping, and on-time delivery is guaranteed. Get a free price quote today at CustomInk.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold, or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. fortressclothing.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Okay, we are talking, of course, to Dave Stewart. Unbelievable, unbelievable book. Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, A Life in Music. It's a memoir by Dave Stewart, of course, from so many things, and that was one of my favorite songs.
Love is a Stranger.
Love
yeah.
is a Stranger.
Yeah, Annie and I wrote very sort of, how do I explain it? We like to think about the world in reality, so, you know, there's the beauty and then there's the decay or the juxtaposition. So, we sneaked into pop songs really sort of interesting lyrics, like, you know, a song right by your side, just before the chorus it goes, so when depression starts to win, I want to be right by your side. But this is on Top of the Pops, and the kids are going, when depression starts to win. I like this one, you know, the opening line, love is a stranger in an open car. Well, that's kind of a strange thing to say. It's like, you know, and then, you know, we made this, the music of that all sweet with a little omni chord, and it sounds all bouncy. And then she's going, you know, it's vicious and it's cruel, and it's all the words are saying the opposite.
Right.
And we did that sort of nearly all the way through our career, as trying to stick to reality and not become like a Disney-fied
right, of course.
Band, and not become cliched or generic.
Right.
And so we would do that visually and in every way.
Mm-hmm. And well, it was so ahead of its time. I mean, you started like the whole. I remember the first time I ever heard the song "Sweet Dreams." You went, wait, what did I just hear on the radio? It was so foreign to what was going on in popular music at the time. And you talk about the creation of that book, of that song in the book, and it was so effortless in that moment, the way you describe the two of you coming together, you're playing something, she all of a sudden starts saying the lyric, and, you know, you even say in the book that it was, and I'm paraphrasing here, of course, that it's amazing that something that has lasted and had such an impact on your career forever, on your life, and all of our lives, that it started so simply and was so effortless.
And happened in 30 minutes or something, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, yeah, I think I remember, you know, the story of Picasso being interviewed on TV, and the guy asked him to do a little sketch, and he did a sketch in a minute or something, a tiny sketch. And the guy said, well, isn't that crazy? I could sell this for like 25,000, you know, pounds or whatever. And you did it in a minute. Picasso said, what are you talking about? I mean, it took me 60 years to learn how to do that.
right, exactly.
So we'd been through so much, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't really know many couples who live together as a couple in this kind of sweet way that, you know, everybody else is a couple, broke up and then became hugely successful as a duo and stuck together through it all.
Right.
It's usually, you know, say Sonny and Cher are famous together and then they break up.
Right.
Or, you know.
And their magic was being together rather than.
Yeah, so it's all back to front, really, because our magic, as you say, was now we're not together, but we're writing songs about when we were together.
Uh-huh. But you had that bass. You know, there's something about having that incredible bass.
Oh,
but,
yeah. But it can create, but obviously it's a lot more emotional than a lot of people's songwriting, in the fact that you're looking at the person you lived with, writing a sort of song about separating, but you are separated, but you're going to get in the car and go back to the studio again, you know.
Right.
It's odd.
So, but it is very tied in with memory in a lot of ways. So there is like a memory thread, which is what I found so fascinating in your book.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, I mean, not for you, because you can remember everything instantly, but, you know, I didn't realize that I was influenced by my father, you know, building this really handmade little sound system in the house. We lived in a tiny house like the Beatles, you know, in Help, those little houses. And he switched it on, and suddenly it was Rodgers and Hammerstein blasting through the house every morning.
What a beautiful morning.
Yeah. As if we were having breakfast and going to school. And to us, it was just like, wow, that's the loudest thing I've ever heard. Because nobody really had these big speakers in their houses. And I didn't think anything about it till, you know, years later when I caught myself sort of singing things in airports. And and then somebody approached me to work on a musical. And then I studied a musical and I realized, oh, yeah, I know exactly how these things go.
Right.
You know, how to.
The patterns.
And the patterns everything. And, you know, the themes and all that stuff. And I thought, how the hell am I so familiar with this? And then I remembered, oh, my God, you know, I listened to just about every musical that was ever on stage.
Yeah. It's like it becomes part of your DNA, you know, and that, you know, just always, and especially kids are so impressionable. So things being recorded. We're talking, of course, to Dave Stewart. He's got an unbelievable, it's a memoir biography. It's really a study of what was happening in the world of music at that time and long times, because you're still doing everything.
Yeah, 50 years
of it. Fantastic. It's unbelievable. It's called Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, A Life in Music, and it's a memoir by Dave Stewart. One of my other favorite stories was your story of you know, spending this wild night with Stevie Nicks. You guys get together, and then you are going to write a song for her, Don't Come Around Here Anymore. Mm-hmm. And you tell the whole Tom Petty story. We have a little bit of the song, and you can tell us the story that's connected to it as well.
Sure.
I mean, when you hear this song, when you hear Don't Come Around Here Anymore, you hear your influences now that I know, you know, it's like so obvious.
Well, I'd already written, you know, all the backing track and the words of the chorus and everything in San Francisco just after I'd met Stevie. We were in a hotel, and I always had a tiny little recorder with me, and I had a sitar guitar and a drum machine, and I made the whole track up. And sang the chorus, you know, don't come around here no more.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'm going to go back and see Stevie now and, like, play it to her. And it was quite complicated because Stevie and I had spent the night together, like, 2 days before. Then I went to San Francisco. Then I came back and I'd already met Jimmy Iovine.
Mm-hmm.
And Jimmy and I had become friends and I'd started to live in his house. And Stevie, of course, had been living with Jimmy, but now she wasn't. But he was.
I know you had to sneak out.
Yeah, he was producing her album. So we were in the studio with Jimmy and Stevie in a tiny little room with a piano, and we were playing the song. And she started arguing a bit with Jimmy about it, and then she went in the studio, did some vocals, and she was singing stuff. And Jimmy was going, "This sounds like Shakespeare. This is not, you know, what we should be doing," and had this big row. And then Jimmy said, "Stevie, can you stop rowing with, you know, in front of my friend David? You don't really know him." She goes, "What are you talking about? We slept with each other the other night." And I was staring at the ground going, but Jimmy, amazingly enough, thought about it for a second, and Stevie went to the bathroom and he said, "Hey, we should call this guy called Tom Petty. He'll sing it. Great."
Mm-hmm.
So Tom came down. I'd never met him before in my life. And we played the song, and he went, "Oh, yeah." And he started writing, you know, the verses, sang them. He said, and then Tom said, "We should go to my garage where I record with my band," which was in Encino.
Right.
So we drove all the way there with Tom. So there's this guy, I don't know, we're in the car driving to the garage now. And I'm like, okay, so
you don't know if you're going to get mugged because you slept with Jimmy's girlfriend
or whatever.
Yeah.
And we go to the garage, and there he is, you know, with all his equipment. And then Jimmy came, and then we produced it together into this hit. And it all was a bit like a Mad Hatter's Tea Party. So I suggested, "Hey, why don't you make a video like a Mad Hatter's Tea Party?" And it ended up with "It Is" and me sitting on the mushroom at the top.
Yes, of course.
And that was my introduction to Los Angeles.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Your stories are endless. I wish I had more time with you. You are, I'm such a huge fan, and I just adore you. And thank you so much for being with us today, especially in studio, and for sharing with the world this incredible book. It's called Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, A Life in Music, a memoir by Dave Stewart, forward by Mick Jagger, and just, you know, it's just so great to talk to you and to meet you. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks. It was great fun.